on theology of suffering, and I'd like for you to open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 8. Today, we know people live with suffering. Some people are suffering now. Some of us have suffered in the past, and I know many of us will suffer in the future. So, our lives involve suffering. I don't think there's any denial of that. But this study we've been doing for the last couple of weeks, and we're going to continue, is going to be called The Theology of Suffering. And by that I mean we are examining God's perspective on our suffering. I realize that we all have our own personal views of suffering. And many people try to figure out why they suffer. But suffering is hard to understand, especially when we try to deal with it from our own perspective without God. I don't really think any of us could really actually make sense of it, my own personal thought. I don't think it can work. And so what we've been doing is looking at, well, what's God's view on this, and not my own, but what's God's. And last week we examined Paul's suffering that he was going through. Actually, Paul went through a lot of suffering in the Bible. He was a man of suffering. And in the case we looked at last week, there was a false apostle. You guys remember? False apostle came into the church. And in 2 Corinthians 11:4, the verse we looked at last week, when that false apostle came in, he did a number of things. First, he preached another Jesus. Remember that? But not only did he preach another Jesus, he preached a different spirit. And third, not just a different spirit, but he preached actually a different gospel. Now, this tore Paul's life up. There's no doubt about it, I think. Paul loved the people. He led them to Christ and probably discipled them for 2 years. And so to have these people turn on him, I think for him was totally devastating. I believe this pain that Paul had was worse than being physically beaten, being shipwrecked. There was nothing like this kind of pain for Paul. I believe it devastated his life. And we asked a question, and I think it's a good question that we all have to ask, and that is, why would God allow Paul to suffer like this so deeply, and then let a group of false teachers and false apostles come into the church and devastate the whole church? We have to ask that question. I mean, it's a hard question, but obviously it's a question that it happened. The church was almost destroyed because of this kind of stuff going on in the church. And so last week, we established a number of things, and I want to go back over them. We established last week that, first of all, we have to always remember that God has a purpose in permitting suffering in Paul's life, and he permits suffering in your life too. One of the purposes we looked at last week was that suffering really, God allows the suffering to bring people to a spiritual level beyond where they're currently at. I believe that wholeheartedly, 100%. That is really the work of God and why God allows it. In this case, we saw last week that Paul's spiritual life grew. We also recognize that the church grew in their suffering. And then we talked about a second purpose, why God would allow suffering in people's lives. And we said that God uses suffering to reveal our spiritual condition. I believe that too. I believe that my whole heart. I believe that a person's true spiritual condition is actually revealed when they suffer. Once you remove all the prosperity You remove all their success. You remove all their health. When you remove everything, I think what's left can only be people's spiritual life. And so it's when people suffer, our spiritual life is revealed. So true. And God wants that to happen. He allows it to happen. He wants it to actually to happen. We talked about that last week. So this morning I want to continue, talk about other reasons God allows you and I to suffer and why he allowed Paul to suffer. But obviously those two reasons we began with are critical. So let's open up our Bibles and let's continue to see what happens as we move from 2 Corinthians 11 with the false apostle being in the church to how they're going to handle this, how they're going to handle this horrible situation that they're all faced with. So let's open up and see what they do. Let's see what Paul does. You all have this? So we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to go to verses 1 through 7. So Paul says, you know, I must go on boasting. Although, he says, there's nothing to be gained by my boasting. I will go on to visions, and I will talk with you about revelations that the Lord God has given me. I will do that. And then he talks about a third person. Obviously, it's himself. He said, I knew a man who 14 years ago was caught up into the third heaven. And he says, whether it was in the body or whether he had an out-of-body experience, I don't even know. But God knows what happened to that man when he went to heaven. And I know that this man, whether this man was in the body or whether he was out of the body, I don't know. But God knows what happened to this man as he was caught up in paradise. He says he heard inexpressible things that man is not even permitted to talk about. I will boast about a man like that. But I will not boast about myself. If I'll boast, I'm only going to boast about my weaknesses. Wow. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. But I'm going to refrain. So no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do and by what I say. Now to keep me from becoming conceited, wow, because of these surpassing great revelations that he's had, there was given to me a what? Thorn in the flesh. Actually, it's a messenger of Satan himself. God allows Satan to come to him to torment him. And he says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he doesn't take it away. He says, what? My grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in your weakness. This is the word of the Lord. So this morning I want to continue on why God would allow this suffering, both in the church and allow suffering of Paul. But I want to begin by giving you an understanding of what was happening here. In verses 1 through 4, can you put up that next slide? In verses 1 through 4, Paul continued, even though reluctantly, to defend the fact that he was an apostle. He actually says in verse 1, what? I have to keep boasting. I must go on boasting. The background of the situation was that Paul's opponents claim that boasting concerning having revelations and visions was absolutely necessary if you're going to be an apostle. That's what they tried to convince the church. Wow, what a wicked, wicked scheme. And Paul is in a very difficult situation, obviously. Paul is actually forced to boast, but he doesn't want to talk about it. He does not. The Corinthians and the church people and the Greeks, they were enamored by people who would say, I've had a vision. I've had a vision. I've had a revelation of God. They wanted people to talk like that. And Paul does not want to talk like that. And so, but he says, I must. And so he does. And so he says, if the church needs to know that I've had visions to prove that I'm an apostle, then let me tell you some of the visions I've had. Oh my goodness. Reluctantly, he does not want to go there. So he speaks about them. And the first one he speaks about is in verse 2. He speaks about a vision. And he says he had a vision. How long ago? 14 years ago. Before he even came to this church. He said, 14 years ago, before I was even here, I had a vision. And the vision is what? He said he was caught up into the third heaven. And he was actually caught up and he goes to heaven. We know this is heaven. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. When John speaks about a tree of life, he says there's a tree of life, and this tree of life is in God's paradise, is in God's heaven. So what Paul is saying is, listen, you want to talk about visions? I want to tell you, I went to heaven and I came back. Wow. Imagine that. You want to compete? Let's talk about it. Did you go to heaven? Have you ever been to heaven? Have you gone to heaven? Has God ever taken you up there? I want to tell you, he took me up there. Wow. Oh my goodness. I mean, what a, can you top this, I guess, would be what Paul would have said. I don't think so, amen. I don't think so. But he doesn't want to talk this way, right? He doesn't want to say, well, I've had these spiritual experiences. But actually he's saying, I don't like to talk about this. And he makes it clear why he doesn't want to talk about it. What are they? A couple of things. He said, one, it's my flesh that's talking right now. When I got to talk like this, it is really not my spirit, man. It is my flesh. So he's warned by that. And then he says, it's not just my flesh. He said, but in my flesh, if I keep talking like this, I'm going to become a very prideful man. Paul knows that. To talk about his spiritual experiences and visions that God showed him would be a very prideful thing to do. And he does not want to do it. Wow. That's the background here. That's what's happening with Paul in his suffering. And so I want to make the point, a second point, and that is understanding this background. A second point I'd like to make, and a very important one, is that the reason Paul refrains is that he wants the Corinthians to decide on who's the real apostle in the church based not on his visions. He does not want that. The only thing Paul wants people to look at is what? It's in verse 6. I'm not going to get into this. I'm not going to talk about this. He said, the only thing I really want you to do is what? I want you to look at my life. In verse 6, he clearly tells them. He says this, but I refrain from talking about all of this to you. Why? So no one will think more of me than is warranted by what? Than by what I do and by what I say. So these spiritual experiences, don't even worry about them. These visions I have mean nothing to me. What should mean something to you is what? How I live my life now while I am suffering. Take a look at that. If I were to base my defense of being an apostle on these visions that are unexplainable, unverifiable, you don't even know if I'm right or wrong or true or not, I would be no better than a charlatan. Imagine that. I don't want to be like a charlatan. I'm not going to be a fake before you, is what he's saying to them. Not like this other apostles who's here, who's telling you something different. I'm not buying into it, and I won't argue about it. Whoa. I really believe that underlining, and I hope you would agree, underlining the whole thing, I think what Paul is saying to the church is, listen, you need to be suspicious of people who actually would come into a church and have visions and revelations and make themselves out to be better. What he's saying to the church is you ought to be suspicious of those types of people. It's a good word for the church, amen? Be suspicious of them. And then what he's saying is that really, real spiritual power and real authority, it looks ordinary. Amen? It actually sometimes could look weak, as Paul was. It actually would be, he would look unimpressive. But if you look closely at that person's life, you will actually find genuine spirituality. Does that make sense? You'll find genuine spirituality. It won't be in the visions and the revelations. It'll be in a man, how a man walks before God every single day of his life. Stay away from the spectacular. Wow. Now, I know I covered this verse last week, but I really want to take a different look at this today. And I really want us to understand that Paul is suffering and he wants them to look at his life. Do you understand that? Now, I want us to open up our Bibles to Colossians. Keep your hand in 2 Corinthians. And I want us to go to Colossians. And let's take a different look at this. Suffering. And in Colossians, it's a wonderful, very powerful, powerful verse. There's no doubt Paul is suffering. He's overwhelmed. His heart is completely broken. I think it was just very difficult for him to live with that kind of suffering. But I want you to see what he says to the church in Colossae. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, listen to what he says. You all have that? He said, now, what? I rejoice in what was suffered for you. What's he doing now? He's rejoicing about his suffering. He said to the people, check out my life. I rejoice that you looked at my life. I'm glad you're looking at my life. I rejoice. I'm in suffering, but I rejoice. I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regards to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become a servant by the commission of God, gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. And then he talks, he says, you got to know the mystery. What's the mystery? He said, the mystery has been kept hidden for ages. Paul is suffering. But he says there's a mystery, and it's been hidden for ages. But it is now what? Disclosed. It's now being shown to you. In his suffering, I'm going to show you the revelation. I'm going to show you something. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. And what's the mystery? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Is Paul suffering? Yes. Is he joyful? Yes. Why is he joyful? Christ in him, the hope of glory. And then he says in verse 28, and I love this. I know if you ever read this before. We are going to proclaim this. We're going to admonish everybody to do this. We're going to teach everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. Wow. There's no doubt Paul is suffering, and there's no doubt that he's rejoicing in his suffering. You see, he's saying that, look at my life. Look at how I'm living. And then he says, look at what I say, and then look at how I do life. Look at that, okay? While I'm suffering, I want you to look at it. Wow. You see, in this, Paul actually understands that there's a group of people all around him, correct? And is Paul suffering? Yeah. Are the people around him suffering? Yes, everybody's suffering. But what Paul is saying is, I rejoice over my suffering. Why? Because in my suffering, you now can see God glorified. Does that make sense? God is being glorified in his suffering. I don't think it's difficult to understand. I think it's difficult to live. Would you not agree? So what he's saying is, okay, I'm suffering, but you know what? While I'm suffering, I'm gonna tell people while I'm suffering what a glorious God I have. In my suffering, God is so good to me. God has blessed me. God has strengthened me. God has comforted me. God is there for me. And he knows that the other people around him probably would never see Christ unless he suffered. Correct? He knows that. He says it's a mystery. You see, when things were good in his life, you might not have seen Christ. But now he's saying what? I am suffering. My life is falling apart. But while my life is falling apart, I'm going to tell you about Jesus. Wow. I oftentimes see this as a huge challenge. I'd like to challenge you too about this. When you suffer, do you actually tell people about Jesus? Or how many of us suffer and say, I don't really understand what's going on. I'm going to go inside myself because it's very painful for me. And yet everyone around you is suffering and you are not saying anything. That is the opposite of what Paul is actually saying here. It may be the normal response for a Christian, but it should never be. Should never be that way. Christ is where? In me. And here, I'm going to what? I'm going to proclaim this. I encourage you, when you're suffering, you proclaim Jesus Christ. You say, I'm hurt. I'm broken. My heart is broken. I don't think I can get up in the morning. It's difficult for me. I'm overwhelmed with life. But then what? But praise be to God. He's inside of me. He's helping me. He's there for me. He's strengthening me. And I'm going to tell all of you what God is doing in me. That is the way a Christian needs to live their life. Does that make sense? Wow. Whoa. I want you to listen. I found a clip of a man who was going through a very difficult situation, and I guess he got on YouTube and posted how he was going to handle it. So should we show that clip this morning? And I want you to, can you turn those lights down too? I want you to watch and listen to this.
Hi, I'm Matt Chandler. I'm the lead pastor, teaching pastor here at the Village Church. If you haven't heard, it's been quite the weekend, really quite the week for us. On Thanksgiving morning, I had a seizure and woke up in the hospital. They did some scans and they found a tumor on my right frontal lobe. It's about 2 inches by 1 inch, so 2 inches in diameter, about 1 inch deep. And on Friday, really by the time you watch this, they're going to go in and cut it out. And so I wanted to say just a couple of things to you very quickly. Knowing that this is the first weekend in FMX, we're live streaming, like all these good things are happening, and I'm having to miss out on that. Just trust the Lord with that. But in the end, a couple of things. One, I just can't thank you enough. And really the places where our hearts have been real tender is just the outpouring of love and encouragement and support and prayers from really not just the Village but all over the world. And that's been such a humbling thing to me and my family. And so I wanted to thank you for that. And then the second thing, I just wanted to say this. so you could hear me say this. I've been, in my travels this fall, I've been preaching kind of the same message out of Hebrews 11. And in Hebrews 11, he says that some shut the mouths of lions, and some, they put foreign armies to flight, and some, you know, it kind of goes through this, all these good things that happened to these men of God. And then right in the middle of, I believe it's verse 30. I'm sorry, but it's somewhere right in there. All of a sudden just turns. I think it's 32. It just turns. And all of a sudden it says, and some were tortured, and some were sawn in two, and some were destitute, and some were, and then he said, but both walked in faith. And so this, I'm 35 years old. I'm at this point in my life. All he's ever given me, we've shut the mouths of lions, and we've put foreign armies to flight, and we fought against injustice, and there've been nothing but good, that has come. And so I've always felt like, when I taught that message, there was this hitch in me that was going, when I say, but some don't get that, I thought that there would be people in the crowd that would say, Well, of course you're going to say that. Of course you're going to point that out, because God's done nothing but be good to you. He's done nothing but be gracious. He's done nothing but let you have victory after victory after victory. And so when this all came out, and then when we found out from the surgeon that we were expecting to get multiple options, here are your options, and we didn't. There's one option. We need to get in there now. There's this part of me that's so grateful that the Lord counted me worthy for this. And there's this part of me that goes, okay, because now in an area where it's not a big win, I get to show that he's enough. Then I get to praise him and exalt him and make much of him in this, because I've got to make much of him in this. Now he's counted me worthy to point to him in this. And so know that, man, we've cried our tears at my house, and man, I've held my children, and I've kissed them, and I've kissed my wife. And what I would love is to be a 70-year-old man drinking coffee. I would love to walk my daughter down the aisle. I would love to see my boy turn into the athlete I never was. I mean, I would love to do all of that. But none of those things is better than him. None of those things. And I'm saying that now. I'm saying that right now, not as the guy who has everything and has nothing in front of him that he could lose, but I'm telling you that now as a guy who could lose everything in an instant. And so, man, I love you. I love this place. It's been the great joy of my life to yell at you for 7 years. My plan is to come back more aggressive. That's my plan. And so we'll see what the Lord has for me. I am not afraid. And so for those of you who kind of, you just keep living in fear, and you would try to use this as an excuse to continue in that fear. Don't you dare use me as an excuse to continue in your lies. My hope would be that you would see that he is good in all things, and that he would never send to any of us things he does not provide strength for. I love you more than you know. I can't wait to be back. Can't wait to be back. I love you.
I don't know about you, but it's he uses that Hebrews 11, and he's actually joyful that he's suffering, right? He's joyful about his suffering. He's not afraid of suffering. I really want to encourage you with that. Do not be afraid of your suffering. Don't be afraid of your own pain. But his heart comes out, doesn't it? And what's his heart? God be glorified, even if he were to take my life on the operating table and I were to die. May God be glorified. Marsh is clapping. It's not an easy place to go. But it is something every believer needs to proclaim. When you're suffering, you proclaim Jesus Christ. And those people around you who are suffering, may they know you're really suffering, but you proclaim Jesus Christ. You tell them that Jesus Christ is living inside of you. He's going to give you the grace to deal with this. He's going to give you the strength. It's going to give you the wisdom. You know what? When I see this, I think of Israel sometimes, and I think about when Jesus came to Israel. And in my mind, it's not a biblical thing, but in my mind, I think about when Jesus was on earth, right? And how many miracles he did. I sometimes wonder, what was the favorite miracle of the people? Was it raising Lazarus? No, not from your perspective, from the people who were there. Was it raising Lazarus? Was it casting out demons? My opinion. You know what it was? I think when he fed the 5,000. Why? You see, when he fed the 5,000, I believe probably at that time 5,000 people would have followed Jesus. Why? Free lunch. It's a free lunch. No doubt about it. But after he gives them a free lunch, you know what happens next? All the people walk away from him. Do you know why they walked away from him? Because Jesus was saying, I want to give you more than a free lunch. You're going to have to suffer and die for me. And when they heard that, they did not want to do that. And so they left him. Sounds a lot like the Church of Jesus Christ today. It's what happens to people when it gets hard. Rather than saying, in my pain, may God be glorified, we don't. Whether it's a lack of faith, whether it's a lack of courage on your part, whether it's a lack of knowing God, it is not the right response for God's people who know Jesus Christ. It is the absolute wrong response. The right response is what? May God be glorified in my suffering. That is why I live. That is why God has me here. And I'll go through it. May he be glorified. A reason in suffering? Absolutely. Absolutely. But I want to close with this because this is Paul's heart, to rejoice in his suffering. But I want to go to verse 8. As Paul is explaining all these things, and as he's rejoicing in his suffering, he's got pain, but he's rejoicing. You know, it's interesting what he does in verse 8. Because he's definitely hurting. In verse 8, tell me what he does. The Bible says that he says, three times, what? I plead with the Lord. And what's he pleading? Take away my pain. I cannot live with this kind of pain. And the Lord says what? No. Why? He has a purpose in Paul's pain. He's breaking through in Paul's life to give him a different spiritual reality about life, what life is really, really all about. But the key is what? Who did he go to? Correct? In his pain, who did he go to? And he only went to one person. And that person is Jesus Christ. And when he goes to Jesus Christ, he's pleading. I looked up the word here for pleading, and it actually means parakleo. And it actually means he's crying. He is crying to Jesus because he can't handle the pain anymore. Crying, begging him, please take away this pain. I cannot live this way anymore. Wow. You know, when I see this, I sometimes wonder, have you ever had that kind of pain where it's excruciating, where your pain in life is just, you're overwhelmed by your own pain. See, the question is, where will you go with your pain? That is the only question. I think of so many of God's people, they go inside themselves. Wrong. I think of other God's people, they go telling somebody else. Maybe helpful, but wrong. Why? Where does Paul go? goes to Jesus. I'm not going to make this a small point because I think sometimes our pain is overwhelming, but I also believe it's because some Christians don't really go to Jesus. They can talk about it, but they don't go. And so they cannot be a testimony for Jesus Christ either, or at least a good testimony for Jesus Christ. They cannot be. The only way to be a testimony for the Lord is to go to the Lord. And I really want to encourage you, as a believer, in your suffering, we must all turn to the Lord like we've never done before. Amen? Like, when I'm overwhelmed with mine, I'm like, you know, Lord, I used to turn to you and I can turn to you, but now I'm suffering so much, I can't handle it. What's that going to do? It's going to make me go to the Lord like I've never gone to the Lord. Amen? And what will I discover if I do this? Christ in me. The hope of His glory. He gets glorified. Wow. I encourage you to take your pain and your suffering and in it really learn to depend on God like you've never, ever depended on God. Amen? That is what Paul does. And in giving him his pain, has Christ had pain? Does Christ understand his pain? Oh, yes. And so he gets to know Jesus Christ in a way he could never know Jesus Christ. He is now coming to know Jesus Christ in his pain. No wonder he says, I am so happy. I am so joyful. I am in pain, but I am joyful. Why? He has come to know the living God in a way that he would never know his Lord and his Savior without this suffering. Isn't that awesome? It's amazing. It is amazing. How many of you say, Pastor, I already knew all of this? Like I have read and studied 2 Corinthians 12 and I understand all of this. But you know, how many know it's not about your understanding? It's really about, like, what are you going to do when you suffer? And I believe everybody is suffering. You know what I know? I know that God is doing something awesome in this church. I know God is doing something in your life and in my life that's very, very good. I know that. I know it. See, the issue for all of us will be, well, what am I going to do? What are you going to do? I would say everybody here is suffering. What are you going to do? I encourage you to turn toward your Lord and your Savior, Jesus Christ, like you've never had before, and come to understand Him in His suffering. And then you suffer. And as you suffer, you talk about what a great God you have. You talk about how a God delivered you, helped you, gave you wisdom, gave you insight, delivered you. That is what God's people need to do in this time. And you pray that through your testimony, someone else's eyes are open to the very power and nature of God. May they come to know a living God who's alive. Not when things are good, but in your suffering. Let Christ be glorified. Let His name be exalted. That is the life of a believer. Amen? The only way I can do this, there's only one way, and I've come to realize it. You know what it is? I must be fully committed. Not half-hearted, not halfway, not sometimes, but always. I must be fully committed to Jesus Christ. I must give Jesus Christ everything in my life. I must live for him 100%. Dedicate my whole life to him. That is what God is doing. But that requires a choice. You choose at that time whether you really want to follow Jesus or you want to figure out your own suffering your own way. Choose. I ask you, and I'm sure the Lord would ask you, you choose to glorify me while you're suffering. You choose to boast and say, God is good. God is great. God is living in me. He's the hope that's in me. I live for him and him alone. And one day I'll see him face to face. And this pain I have on this earth, what do you think you're going to say? It's nothing. Why is it nothing in comparison to the glory of God that you know is going to take place? You go like, you know what? It may be hard and I may be suffering, but God's going to be glorified. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm looking forward to it. My suffering now means very, very little in comparison to the glory of God that one day you will see face to face. I encourage you to give everything to the Lord. Don't hold back anything. You live in suffering and you give glory to God. You can do that right now in your own seat, right where you are. But I do know it takes a decision. We must decide. My prayer is not, we're not like the 12, 5,000 who wanted a free meal from Jesus. Don't be like that. Know the Lord Jesus Christ in suffering and let his name be glorified in your suffering. Could you make that decision? I encourage you to make it. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this morning. And Lord, we're all here. We've heard your word. We know it's the truth. But Lord, we're making a decision today, Lord, that no matter what suffering we go through, no matter how hard or how difficult, we are committed that you would be glorified. Remove the fear and the worry. And God, may we draw close to you. Know that you're in us. You'll strengthen us. You'll help us. You'll comfort us when we need the comfort. And Lord, we'll walk this way to the very end of our days, that your name would be glorified in our suffering. May you receive all the glory and all the praise for all the suffering we go through. May your name be lifted up and glorified. And may many people look at our lives, hear what we say comes out of our mouth, and see how we live. And may that life give you honor. That's our commitment, Lord. That is our commitment. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. God bless you guys.